three verses in the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, chapter 6. Chapter 6 of the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. There are four verses, not three. Verse 10. The question is asked, who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Clear as the moon, clear as the sun. Terrible. As an army. The Spanish. I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruit of the valley. They're not in the sky now, in the garden. To see the fruit of the valley and to see whether the vine flourisheth and the pomegranates budded. Forever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Verse 13. Return, Shulamite. Return, that we may look upon thee. Then the question is posed, what will ye see in the Shulamite? I did well. The company of two armies. I'm not going down these verses. You'll pardon me. I'm going to try, with the Lord's help, I'm going to try to go up. And I'll need the Lord's help to go up. I looked at this verse 10 years ago, and I closed my Bible, and I said, I'm not going up. But I have to proceed now because I'm up. And I'm looking to the Lord to help me. Step by step, as I trust, we go up. It's the most beautiful book of the Bible. Someone has said, you don't get the church in the Song of Songs. And another has said, you can bring the wealth of the Song of Songs into the church. And I think we would lose much if we didn't. Because of the beauty and the warmth that lies in the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The man himself came short of much that is in it. I think most of us will agree with that. But the beauty that lies in it, it's breathtaking. It's absolutely breathtaking and heartwarming. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Cherub one. Thy love. There's no love like this. Because it flows from the fountain of the heart of God. God is his blessed source. And death has opened wide its course. And it flows in all its force. And it's matchless. Much of it is. And in chapter 1, she gathers him as a bundle of mirth. She wants him to herself. You can have him for yourself. A bundle of mirth is my beloved unto me. He shall pass the night betwixt my breasts. You know, there's pilgrims and strangers. And he's prepared to come in if you'll give him a word, James. And that is the bearing of that verse in chapter 1. He shall pass the night in the affections of his people. Chapter 2. You're out among the trees. And I'm going to speak about the trees, if the Lord helps me. And there, among the trees, he stands unique. He stands unique everywhere. That is the apple tree, among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons, covered with blossom, laden with fruit. Blessed man, God's man. So is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under the shadow with great delight. His fruit is sweet to my taste. Chapter 2. Chapter 3, if I remember right, she's coming up from the wilderness, and if you go up with him from the wilderness, I think it's chapter 3, you'll finish up in the coronation coach. You'll finish up on the coronation coach. Because it's there, he made it, Solomon made it, the coach, and it's paved with love. Go forth, daughter of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. If you keep in the wilderness, you know, in the day of his absence, you'll join the coronation coach. Chapter 3. Chapter 6. You're among the troops. You're among the troops. I want to go up. I can't go down. I am not able to do it. And I'm going to try and go up. And so, this is not a dark saying, this is not a parable. One might say it's enigmatical. Who is she? Who is this person? Who is this Shulamite? She's the complement of the man who's going to rule and who's going to reign. What will you find in the Shulamite? Return, Shulamite. What will you find there? My, it's a teaser. I spent about 12 years on it. It's a teaser, not continuously, off and on, you know, opening my Bible. I wonder would the penny drop, eh? I don't know if it dropped yet, but I'm going to tell you what it is about. It's a dance of two camps. It's a company of two armies. And if you want to get a key to it, as far as I can see, you have to go to our ancient forefather, the patriarch, our dear patriarchal father, whom we've criticized so much, whom we've been so critical about. Your God says about him at the end, Jacob, I loved, Esau, how I hated. Jesus. Where is he? He's at Mahanaim. He's at Mahanaim in chapter 32 of the book of Genesis. What's there? My. There's quite an array there at Mahanaim. The dance of two cups. This man had passed this way via Bethel 20 years before. And he was friendless, homeless, and penniless. Jacob, from the face of his brother Esau. And he pillowed his head upon a stone. And God showed him his house. God showed him his house. This is none other than the house of God. It's the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. And he'd been away 20 years. And my, we had learned a lot in that 20 years. We are not going to go into that tonight. 20 years he was away, but he's coming back now. He's on his way back. And he has to face his brother. You know, what you reap has a bearing upon what you sow. It may take 20 years. And here he is, got to face his brother. you know. Paul Huffin, he went to Slayton, and he had never seen his face for 20 years. But he wasn't penniless now, he wasn't homeless now, and he wasn't friendless now. He had acquired quite a family. It's a long story. And he had acquired quite a fortune. And he'd a lot of friends. And so he puts his family over the brook, Jibbuck. And he said, I want to have an interview with God. And you know, if you see the face of God, men don't matter very much. If you come out from the face of God, men are small. Men are small, they're not like trees walking. When you have come from the face of God. And so they lay there, the company, the dance of two camps, if you will, they lay beyond Jabbok, and he says, I want a blessing from God. Do you want a blessing from God? Are you honest about it? Are you sincere about it? Are you prepared for it? He said, I want a blessing from God. And he wrestled. He wrestled. And he wrestled till morning. And God gave him the blessing. There. At my name. He gave him the blessing. I have no doubt. The blessing was for himself and his posterity. And God gave it to him and to his posterity. And he rose. The sunrise. Rose a prince with God. What about the company? The company is on the other side of the Jabbok. Shall I go over them with you? Zilpah with her two children. Bildah with her two children. Leah with her six children. And Rachel with her one child. And there's another one to go. And with his coming, Rachel will go. There they are. Six. Four's 10. One's 11. There they are there, beyond the brook Jabbok. There were two companies there. There were indeed. There was one arrayed under Leah, and there was one arrayed under Rachel. And they vied with one another. And you'd almost sometimes think, my, they were a crew. I'll tell you this about Jacob. He had no easy job. He had no easy job. And I'll tell you another thing about him. He didn't have time for a part-time job. I'll tell you that. Because he had a job in hand. He had a job in hand. You know what he says? To use our language, they would put you around the bend. I'll tell you what he says. I'll tell you what he says. You'll bring my grey hairs to Sheol. In other words, you'll put me in my grave. But he didn't. I think he lived about 40 years after that. He had a lot of good to do after that. Not a lot at all. Because he was moving into the best of his days. The sun set. There they were, the 11. There's one to join them. And Rachel has to go. And that one is Benjamin. Well, I'm not going to go into all that arrangement there. Most skillful arrangement. You know, I think you learned some of it from Laban. Because Jacob was honest. But Laban was crafty. Laban was crafty. And I'm not going to go into it. But there's the dance of two camps. What have I got to say about it? Well, you would say, in a way that a mother from, you only had one daughter. And she made the sparks fly. dainty diner, she made the Spanish fly. But these 11, shall we have a look at them? Priesthood. Kinship. Judgment and justice of Jehovah. Lordship. Eventually headship. He was indeed a prince with God. What did you see, did the Shulamite? Shiloh is going to come out of there. The manor is going to come out of there. And he has to have a compromise. Something complimentary to him. And who is she? I think we need to try and touch it. A little further up. The ladder. What would you see in Shulman? The dance of two cats. And they vied with one another to get the first place with Jacob. And in it all, God worked out his all varied ways, his way. So let's go now into the Garden of Nuts. The Garden of Nuts. We'll be among the trees. We'll be among the trees in the Garden of Nuts. The unusual thing about it is that what they wanted to do, what he wanted to do in the Garden of Nuts, he wanted to see if there was any flowering in the bud, if there was any breaking of the bud in the pomegranate. No doubt, referring to the stings of the children of Israel. This is how Mr. Aziz used to say it. I remember. I used to watch his mouth, and he used to say, "The children of Israel." And he's looking for a stirring amongst his earthly people in the vine and in the pomegranate. There are plenty of trees there in the Garden of Nuts. All kinds of trees, stately trees. Lordly trees, beauteous trees in that garden. I'm told that the palm tree is the most beautiful tree upon earth. And I can believe it. I can believe it. And the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and they'll grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Lordly, lordly. They'll be planted in the house of Jehovah. That's down here. Now flourish up there. Flourish up there. A little thing that you have when you're going to sail, struggling to get the light, a few inches high. Put it in its natural habitat and you'll get 6 or 7 feet, 10 feet. You see, it's in its natural habitat. The palm tree is scattered over much of the earth. The palm tree. The palm tree puts out its down its deep root, and it can almost become independent of its surroundings. The palm tree. And the most beautiful palms, I'm told, I do not speak from experience, the most beautiful palms, I'm told, are found in Galilee. Now, I'm not at all surprised at that. And I'll tell you why. Because the most wonderful ministry that was ever preached and spoken and delivered upon the face of the earth to mankind was largely in Galilee. In Galilee. The palm tree is what they call an endogen tree. I understand in the growing of trees, you can divide it into two. There are what is known as indubbing trees, and there is what is known as exdubbing trees. Indubbing trees grow from the inside. They grow out. Exdubbing trees grow from the outside. And the immediate growing part behind the bark. An indubbing tree is a soft-hearted tree. An exdubbing tree is a hard-hearted tree. The oak is an excellent example of an exdubbing tree. Hard-hearted. If you grow from the outside, there's a danger to be a hard-hearted. But the indubbing tree, and the palm is one excellent example of it, it grows from the inside and its heart is soft. And I do not wonder that it is so brought before us in the Word of God and also in the temple of His magnificence. An indubbing tree, its fruit mellows the older it gets, They shall bring forth fruit in their old age. An indubbing tree, its fruit mellows, even though it's 200, 300 years old. So it's nice to build the palm tree. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. It won't grow all over the place like a bramble. What Moses saw at the bush, they were stately, lordly, and they were straight. With me is thy fruit found. And that was the fir tree. So we must go on to the third step. Question once again arises, who is she? Who is she? You're not in the wilderness, you're not in the garden, you're in the sky, Well, you'll have to be in heavenly places to have a look at what's here. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon. Fair as the moon. I don't think anywhere else in Scripture, I speak subject to correction, I don't think anywhere else you'll find a female compared by the sun. Yet this one here, of whom the question is posed, who is she? Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon. That beauty, isn't it? Bright as the sun. That's glory. Terrible. As an army with banner. I don't think it's a question of terror. So, I think it's absolutely overcome with the final triumph of God. Because God is going to triumph over all that has come in the breakdown as a result of man's disobedience. And complementary to that man who sits in the glory, there's going to be a compliment down here, and there's going to be a compliment up there. In the light of that stone, most precious, shall the city of God be fair. He shall shine who is like to the jasper in that brightest glory there. That's it. That's where we're bound for. But he's going to have bride with him. He's going to have our wife with him. Undimmed by that wondrous vessel, that light of surpassing love, she'll illuminate the earth in her gladness, and she'll fill